All right, well, let's get in this word then. Let's get in this word.
First Thessalonians.
We're up to chapter 2 today. They're brief, short little chapters. You could manage them fairly well with God's help. You know, this book is different from every other book, praise the Lord. It takes the Spirit to discern it and to understand it and to glean from it. And it's an ever, ever flowing well of life.
We really have to do that with any reading that we do with the Bible.
There's not one particular book that you cannot neglect having the Spirit teach you. Got to. This is a divine, supernatural thing.
And you know, I've had four people in the last 2 weeks tell me, oh, I read the Bible all the time, but I just don't understand it. I go, well, have you asked and prayed for the Holy Spirit to explain it to you?
Yeah.
No. Well,
you got to have it.
Hey, he has to teach you. That's right. It's spiritually, the Bible uses that phrase, spiritually discerned.
Yes.
That is, the Spirit knows the mind of God.
Yeah.
And only the Spirit can teach us what Jesus teaches. That's right. What he said. He's going to cause you to remember. He's going to teach you what I taught you.
Right.
You can see the disciples, when they were with Jesus, they didn't understand a whole lot of stuff.
No.
But when the Spirit came and it illuminated them, they were able to understand things they couldn't understand when they watched him.
That's right.
And heard it out of his own voice. They didn't understand it until the Spirit gave light on it. So, Older and New Testament both teach us that God has to. Let me give you a passage to help you when you talk, because you hear this all the time. As you mentioned, four people this week. Psalm 111. Look at Psalm 111. This will be a good word just to lock down somewhere, write down somewhere, hide it somewhere, so that when somebody does make reference that, man, I just can't understand it.
Okay.
Let's see. Look in verse number 10. Psalm 111 and verse number 10 says, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," which is absolutely essential to do anything with God. You have to walk in wisdom, which means you take God at His word. That's the fear of the Lord. You give in place to Him. But notice the second part. "A good understanding have all those who do His commandments."
Yeah.
His praise endures forever. You see what he just said there. Number one, it takes wisdom to walk in the will of God. Without the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, that is, the first thing wisdom is going to teach us, is to give place to the Word.
Yes.
That is, give place to the Lord. That is, you take Him at His Word. You find me somebody, anybody, that doesn't take God at His Word, I'm going to tell you that person, number one, is not walking wisely. Number two, there is no evidence of the fear of the Lord in their life. Okay. That's the difference between those who have a good understanding and those that don't. See, to walk in it, you need a good understanding. But you don't have a good understanding without walking in it.
Amen.
You got to understand it through the wisdom of God to walk in it. But if you don't walk in it, you're not going to have a good understanding.
Yeah.
It's a both sides of the coin. That those who, as he says here, a good understanding have all those who do His commandments, that is, who walk in the truths of God. The commandments, you can use the word in the ideas this is going to teach us throughout this whole psalm and throughout the word, is that God has a principled way of doing things. He reveals that principled way to us through His law, His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, His testimonies, all those things reveal the principal ways of God.
Amen.
That's why, look at verse number 2. The works of the Lord are great. One, they're great because they're the work of the Lord. They're great because of what they accomplish. They're great because there's a vastness of them. God has been working from day one and will work till it's done, and He never does anything accidental. So everything He does, all His works are great, the Scripture says. The works of the Lord are wondrous, extraordinary. Every work is extraordinary. No matter how big or how small or how many people see it or know it or understand it, there's not one thing He does that is not extraordinary. Therefore, what does the next verse say? Studied by all those who have what?
Pleasure
in them. See, if you can't recognize the greatness, the vastness, the extraordinary dynamics of the supernatural works of God, you're not going to have pleasure in them, and you're not going to seek them to study them. You're not going to frequent them. The word study means to frequent. You go back to them again and again and again and again and again and again and again. It's where you run to. You run to what He's done. You run to what He's doing. You run to what He's promising. You always run into it. The example would be like David, for an example, and Saul. Saul, because Saul was more concerned about himself, constantly forgot what God had done. David, when he would show up, would remind Saul of what God had done. He constantly had to be reminded of the grace and the goodness and the glory of God. Why? Because Saul made it about who?
Himself.
So he couldn't see past himself. Where David, on the other hand, a man who did some ugly things, but was still a man that was after God's own heart, was always reminding everybody around him of God's glory, God's grace, and God's goodness. Constantly.
David was trying to find a place for his family to go when he went to Ziklag.
He did, yeah.
And to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Then, raiders came in.
Got attacked.
Took everything.
He's running with the king of the Philistines at the time. Remember, he's wanting to put him out in charge.
Yeah.
And David didn't want to get out that because he's going to go fight against his people.
Right.
That he's going to eventually be king over.
But when they got him back,
mm-hmm. They went and recovered.
Those that didn't go, David made sure that they had equal share
of their bounty, of their stuff. Other people wanted to whitewash them. They blackballed them. David said, we're in this together.
See, this is what you were talking about earlier with the two churches.
Mm-hmm. And the idea was, is these guys had went on this raid, and they were war slap out. They get word they've been attacked at home, so they make a quick journey back to go get and ask God to help recover the families. He didn't care about the possessions.
Right.
Just the families, our children, our wives.
Yeah.
And some of them were just slap wore out and said they couldn't do it. They couldn't fight. They'd be more of a hindrance, really, in essence, than.
Yeah.
But the ones that did look back to them and said, them sorry no loaders, man, they don't deserve anything. And David said, no, we were together. They were together. They were attacked together. We're gonna stick together. If it's only a handful of us going to fight, we'll go fight on their behalf.
Right.
And that's just this graciousness. Abraham was like that.
Yeah.
When Abraham went and recovered Lot and all those that they had taken, and them kings wanted to give him something as regard, he said, no, I've made a commitment that I'm not going to take anything from the hands of man so that no man can say they made me wealthy, but these that fought with me, if they want to take it, they can take it.
Yeah.
That's just being gracious.
Right.
They're saying, my convictions are going to keep me from taking it, but my convictions are not going to stop somebody else from getting it.
That's right.
So that's just part of that particular work there. But if you read Psalm 111, which is a great one to remember because it gives us all these foundational reasons why we would seek the Lord, why we would see His work as extraordinary, why we would have wisdom, why we would operate just taking God at His word. and why we have good understanding. All these things, the basic fundamentals of everyday walking with the Lord, this one psalm answers all of it for us. To be able to help somebody else. That's going to tell you, well, I don't understand it. I can't remember it. I can't do this. And you graciously say, look, God has set some things up in His work that He, if we would commit to Him, He would establish our thinking for us. And when He... Yes, yes, yes. He, look, what He says in verse number 4. He, God, has made His wonderful works to be what? Remembered. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you have pleasure in them, you're going to study.
That's right.
And when you study them, God has made them in such a way that you won't ever forget them. Now, you may not remember every detail. You may not remember every verse. But see, God does not want us to forget what He did at the Red Sea. What He did in Egypt.
Yeah.
What He did in the wilderness. What He did with David at Ziklag.
Yeah.
That's why He's recorded in His Word. And then He keeps bringing these Ebenezers up again. So that we don't forget that the same God that parted that Red Sea is the same God walking with me today. The same God who I'm going to have to face a giant today in what I'm going to have to face. That's why I carry these rocks in my pocket. I've been giving these rocks away. These smooth stones. And how David went to the brook. You know, he went to the brook and he found those five smooth stones.
We talked about that Wednesday night.
Come on. Those smooth stones from the brook. So I carry these rocks in my pocket so that when I come across somebody, God's worked out some things in my life. He's worked off some rough edges in me to have a nugget of wisdom to put in their sling that they can deal with the giants they're going to have to face. So I just pass rocks on, you know, keep them in my pocket. And, but the point is, He don't want us to forget those things. And that's why we always keep bringing them up again and again and again. Verse 4 says, the Lord is gracious and He's full of compassion. Amen. The graciousness of the Lord to help us remember what God's done in the past, that's a work of grace. That's what David said when he told King Saul. You see that giant out there? He has defied the God of Israel and the armies of Israel. He's been mocking the work of God before y'all. And that God has been good to me. When I was shepherding my father's flock, if a lion came up and tried to tear a sheep, I would go after that lion, strike it, and then grab it by the beard and kill it. Same with a bear. And I would rather fight that giant out there than have to deal with one of those lions or bears. This uncircumcised Philistine ain't going to mock my God no more after the day, because I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. And the scripture says, what did David do? He ran at him.
Yeah.
And sunk that stone right in his forehead. Now, I don't know if you ever seen them. When you think about a sling, those that operate a sling, that's a bad dude chunking a rock. That rock is cruising. I mean, it's cruising. I've watched guys do sling work and hit metal insides of a, put it up on a mountain, for an example, and a metal trash can top at 150 yards, hitting them with a rock and putting a dent and even going through them with a rock. Man, they just boom, throw it. And I'm talking about it's like a bullet.
Yeah.
And you chunking a rock that big around and it hits you, it's going to sink in you. It's bad. And I mean, it's zipping. And those that practice it can chunk it and hit things at a long distance. And
you just threw it with your arm and hand.
Oh, yeah. The volume, the leverage. Yes. Yeah, look in Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Go back to Psalm 72. I think it's 72. 72:18. Let's see. Yeah, 72:18. See, these are reminders.
I went to Psalm
27. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. 72:18.
Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things.
Amen.
Who only does. If He does it, it's wondrous. Because everything He does is intentional. It's everlasting. It's purposeful in all that He does. So, blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. That's the objective of the believer, is to fill the earth up with the knowledge of His glory. To fill the earth up with the knowledge of His glory. And what a wonder that is. That word wondrous is the same word for extraordinary. All the works of the Lord are extraordinary. So I'm a work of the Lord. So as a work of His redeeming grace, that's an extraordinary work that He's done. I'm part of that workmanship of Him. Look in Psalm 145. Go to Psalm 145, I believe it is. That's why when we read in Thessalonians, when Paul said, look, there's no question that God has selected you. Because of the extraordinary work that was done in you. It's undeniable. You, now those that this work was done in, the evidence, the trademarks of it were undeniable. Because this is what God does, His extraordinary work. But Psalm 145, look in verse number 10. All your works, which are extraordinary, they're wondrous, what shall they do? They shall praise You, O Lord. And what shall Your saints do? They shall what?
Bless you.
They, Your works and Your saints, shall speak of the glory of Your kingdom and talk of Your power to make known to the sons of men Your mighty acts and the glorious majesty of Your kingdom. For Your kingdom, Your reign is an everlasting reign, and Your dominion endures throughout all generations. I mean, these are life-changing words, that His extraordinary works ought to praise Him.
Amen.
And all His saints ought to bless Him. Why? Because His saints are part of His extraordinary work. And that work is to praise Him. And when we praise Him verbally, distinctly, it does what? It blesses Him. And then how we do it in declaring His mighty works. And that's what Paul done in the first two chapters thus far in Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1. When he says in verse number 2, that's why, you've heard me say this before through the years, you never, ever, ever find any Spirit-led teacher, scripturally speaking, give thanks to men for faith, love, or hope. They're the extraordinary work of God. He's the one gets the credit for it. Man don't get credit for it. God gets credit for it. So these Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, inspired writers, every time they write and they give thanks for faith, love, and hope, it's always directed toward God, because it ain't in man to produce this work. This is a God thing. It's an extraordinary thing. Verse 2 says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Remember, who's he thanking? He's thanking God for this.
Amen.
Now, why is he thanking God? Because this work was manifested before them, but they're not thanking man for it. They're remembering the work that was done, but they're thanking God for the work.
Amen.
Because it was a work of what? Faith. Their labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election, your selection, God's choice of you. How do we know? Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but it also came in power and in the Holy Spirit in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became what? Followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, but you received it with joy of what? The Holy Spirit. That's right. So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. And then he's going to describe the fact that they turned to God, they turned from serving idols to serve the living and true God, and then to wait for the Lord Jesus Christ's return. Those are the trademark effects of the work of the grace of God in somebody's life, is that they turn in trust to the Lord. And when you turn in trust to Him, you can't help but turn from that which you was trusting before. That's repentance. You've got to change your mind. That which you used to cling to, you're no longer clinging to it anymore. You are clinging unto the Lord. Your mind about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, has been transformed because of the Holy Spirit's convicted you of sin. That is, you didn't believe in Jesus. Now you do. He convicted you of righteousness because Jesus is our righteousness, and we were not. And then He convicted you of judgment because everything that ain't of Jesus will be judged. And the Spirit convinced you of that. And man, you see Jesus for who He is. You grab a hold of Him, and then you believe His message. What is His message? That I'm coming back for you. And that they served in that manner. That's why they worked. That's why they labored. And that's why they endured with patience, because they had what? Faith, love, and hope. And that was all divinely, extraordinarily given by God. So that's how we take the news of the Older Testament and tie it together with the news in the New, is that this work of grace is a God thing. These saints ought to bless God, and His work is the praising. And that's why you don't see them what? Praising the people. They're praising God for it. Amen. Giving thanks unto Him. And that's so fundamental for us to understand, so that we can see God at work in His people, for sure. So these are some rich, rich, good morning.
And we are still waiting.
That's right. We are still in the wait, huh? And we serve while we wait. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We serve while we wait. That's right. We, like a waiter that waits upon us. They serve you as they wait upon you. And the more pleasant and the more alert and the more diligent, the more you want to bless them, right? In their service. And that's that same picture here. But yes, 1 Thessalonians, good stuff. Good stuff. So if God does a work, what kind of work is it? Wondrous.
Amen.
If God does a work, does He cause it to be remembered?
Yes.
He sure does. Is His work studied by His people?
Amen.
Those that have pleasure in them, that's right. And who has a good understanding? Those that what? Fear God. Yeah. Therefore they have the wisdom of God, because that's the first thing wisdom teaches you, is what? The fear of the Lord, which we give place to Him as you take God at His word. And as Psalm 111:10 said, those who do His principal way has a good understanding. Psalm 119 to say that they have a good understanding and they're not easily offended. They don't stumble easy is the picture there. Why? Because they have a good understanding. They got a good understanding of Him and His ways, and everything that comes against it doesn't trip them up. You know, you don't have to walk on eggshells around them. You ever had to walk on eggshells around people?
Amen.
You don't want to be that kind of person. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for these that we can pray for this morning that we have on our list. It's long. It's needy, but we know that You, being the author of needs, is also our answer. So we look to You. We thank You for the message that we find throughout Your wondrous word that You've caused us to remember and blessed us to be able to frequent again and again. We are grateful that You bring them to mind over and over again. And now we just ask you to guide us, and we're going to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.